Planet Fitness has everything you need to get stronger just around the corner, so you can give everything you've got. Whether you want to crush a few reps before class with our expanded strength equipment or sweat it out on your way home from work, with over 2,800 locations, there's a Planet Fitness close to you, and most are open 24 hours. Join the club today and save $28 or more when you join for $1 down, $15 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends January 30th. Are you coming? Planet Fitness. We're all strong on this planet. See club for details.
Hey guys, welcome to the MC Anime Podcast.
We cover anime, geek culture, Japanese aesthetics, and Asian studies. We are a multi-fandom podcast, and you can expect to hear topics in your favorite hobby or fandom activity potentially. You can find MC Anime on Google Podcasts, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and YouTube. Also, please check out mcanimepodcast.com, our website. Furthermore, stay tuned in for another episode.
Hey guys, this is MC Anime here, and we're back with another episode of MC Anime Podcast. So we have two people with us today. One is the regular Kimmy, and the other one is Chris, is Emerald. How are you doing today?
Doing pretty good. Also, you probably notice I changed my Discord name because my Discord kind of upgraded.
Alright, say hi, Kimmy.
Hello.
As you know, Kimmy the cat's back, so just be aware of that.
I am alive, woohoo.
So, cool. Emil, tell me a little about yourself, what you do, and all that stuff before we get to the episode.
Oh, what I do? Well, I do reaction videos, I do gameplays. In fact, I'm doing a gameplay series of Night in the Woods. You probably heard of that.
Okay. Harry, what's your introduction? Since I'm very generous.
So for the older guests, if you remembered, I used to play Yu-Gi-Oh, but I kind of took a part from it, and now I am a Pokemon player, and I'm a Photoshop artist. I'm very good at art, and yeah, that's my introduction.
Yeah, he's a retail man, too, so there you go. Sim? In his day life, he's retailing at night when they do Photoshop.
Yep.
So for the dude, today's episode is based on my original take of being a character. It's inspired by Face Off, and I'm actually going to be a character, and part of the process I did it to choose a character was based off the Norse mythology, Yggdrasil tree, the nine realms. So that's a little bit of background about today's episode. Today's episode is called Character Design and Theme Methods. So basically, we're going to break down different pictures that I have of the nine realms. We're going to talk about design for each one and a little bit about Norse mythology in the picture and what aesthetics could you use as an obvious reference? What could you use as an indirect reference to that picture? So, is there anything you want to add about Norse mythology, guys, that you want to share?
Well, the Asgard picture looks nice.
I also like the frost giant. It kind of gives me to imagine what my OC would look like if there were like frost in his fur.
True. And you know, with Norse mythology, well, if you want to go to Asgard, we can. Asgard is one of those popular mainstream realms that a lot of people know about.
Because of like Marvel with Thor and Loki and, you know, Odin.
Yeah. Well, yeah, they're all Father and Loki and Thor. But you also get into the different warrior aesthetics and kind of like the upper echelon of the Asgardian.
And Odin's father.
Oh, yeah, he's the All-Father. That's kind of what he's called.
Yeah.
He's the overseer and ruler of the matriarch thousands of years.
Yeah.
So what makes Asgard particularly interesting is the Bifrost or the Rainbow Bridge. It actually acts as a portal to the nine different realms of the Yggdrasil tree. So it can actually transport you as a gateway to a actual realm you actually want to go to.
Yeah, like Earth or the world of Equestria where my OC lives. Well, technically my OC could live anywhere.
Equestria can be really connected to the Yggdrasil tree as necessarily, but I don't know. And the connectivity maybe. But I don't think it connects to every world.
Like, But now you mention it, Asgard has been one of the places that were attacked recently by so many enemies.
What do you mean, the MCU?
Well, allow me to break down a few things. Like, in the movie, well, in several episodes of Guardians of the Galaxy and Spider-Man, pretty much Asgard was taken over by either Loki and that symbiote invasion. Ugh, those things give me the creeps.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I mean, pop media like DC and Marvel. Marvel has a big impact with Thor as a character. I mean, there's a Thor version in DC, but it's not really as prevalent as Thor in Marvel.
Wasn't there like a DC villain that was like part of like a Greek mythology? No?
I don't know.
I'm sure there was. I'm sure, I mean, there has to be there, at least one. I'm sure, I don't know why they wouldn't.
Well, yeah, DC focused more on the Greek. I think it was the Ares.
Oh, Wonder Woman. Wonder Woman.
It was the main protagonist of Wonder Woman.
Yeah.
Well, he was the protagonist of Wonder Woman, but was mostly the antagonist against the Amazons. Because the Amazons were the ones that were keeping him at bay for him coming to Earth and not being banished. But back to Norse mythology. Like, get back into Greek, because not like anything. Asgard is interesting. A simple fact. It's where the newer gods live, and it's always an invading force in the mythos, what Norse actually represents. So what are some design choices that Asgard you can take to use for a character, since it is part of this theme method?
Well, what kind of weapons... That depends what kind of weapons are in Asgard.
Well, Asgard, the Asgardians is typically a ruling class with a warrior focus. So there's all different mixed people being in, and it's not just a, you know, the newer gods of Aesir being Asgardians. It's like the melting pot of different species coming in to be part of it. Like,
that's
one specific thing. You could have the Valkyries with Thor, whatever, fighting alongside you, but you'd be... That's typically Hasbro's trait. It's not a specific group of Asgardians, it's just Asgardians.
That's pretty cool.
As a theme method, Asgard is like ruling class, heavenly, in the sky is a big thing, so the Rainbow Bridge, so having something to connect to, maybe Mother Nature with the weather or something like that could be cool. Any thoughts, Kimmy?
I think why it's maybe it's not like the characters, I just like the location of like of Asgard rather than the, I mean, the character designs also look nice. Basically, if you see like a, like an actual like of the Thor movies, you would see like the background of it, even like the newest Thor movie. Like, I just like how like the terrain, the fields of like of the world of Asgard, I thought it was pretty cool.
True. For the, I mean, given the aesthetics for Asgard, I think you would have to, you know, if you want to do the gods, then you could have the gods, heavenly, cosmic, all that stuff. Eternal theme is a good one, but gold can be a really good color scheme in the scheme of things. Rainbow as a color palette could be interesting to pick from as well. So there's different aspects that would make a design off that character kind of cool, because it's how the Aesir gods kind of became associated with the gold. That's kind of how they fortified their home. So when you think about it, all that gold being upper class kind of makes fits for Asgard. Any final thoughts?
Not really. We can move on to the next point.
Gotcha. Well,
Helheim. Helheim is interesting, actually. It's the version of the underworld, the afterlife location in Norse mythology, and paganism. So it's also in pagan religions as well. So it's ruled by a being, the same name, Hel. In late Icelandic, we also have varying descriptions of Hel, how they're giving. So as being buried with the items that facilitate their journey to hell after death. But, you know, it's kind of interesting, because those who have died of an illness or old age is typically the inhabitants.
Interesting.
It's the realm of death, located in the deepest, darkest, gloomy part of Niflheim, within the nine worlds of the Yggdrasil.
Well, when you bring that up, it kind of reminds me of, well, you remember the Hazbin Hotel and Hell of a Boss?
Yeah.
Well, as much as I like the animation, I gotta say the storyline is a little questionable.
Eh, true.
Like, why do they make that?
Yeah.
Like, the Zootopian one was a better idea, but that? I feel like they're...
Planet Fitness has everything you need to get stronger just around the corner, so you can give everything you've got. Whether you want to crush a few reps before class with our expanded strength equipment or sweat it out on your way home from work, with over 2,800 locations, there's a Planet Fitness close to you, and most are open 24 hours. Join the club today and save $28 or more when you join for $1 down, $15 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends January 30th. Are you coming? Planet Fitness. We're all strong on this planet. See club for details.
Sometimes I feel like some people are not looking at the potential.
True.
But I don't know. What do you think?
Well, you get like a dark theme. You know, you have death. And it's kind of like you being punished, because typically those who die is a dishonorable death. Forced to tread to the icy lands where no fire can live. It's all that.
Yeah, but this movie makes it feel like that hell is not a bad thing, but it's very wrong.
Yeah, it's kind of interesting. What's your thoughts, Kimmy?
On Hazbin Hotel or the Helheim?
Helheim.
So on Helheim, wasn't like in Thor Ragnarok, I think it was called, like in the beginning, wasn't like Thor... And that was like in the, it was in there in the beginning of the movie, and he fought like one of the, like the king in that movie, or was that something else?
Ball was out of the fire realm with the fire giant.
Oh, that's the fire. Oh, the fire realm giants, yeah. And that's, yeah, I don't think that's in there. Okay, so for Helheim, I think yeah, it kind of gives you like a Magic the Gathering vibe. You know, like would you agree?
Okay, anything specific in Magic the Gathering? Like maybe a. The black mantle?
Yeah, like specifically the swamp. Like, even by the art itself, it could look like a magic card. I don't know. And like, there's like creatures with zombies or like vampires. So that.
Okay.
Like undead creatures. That looks cool.
True. And the contents is like you have the House of Hell, which is one of the nine worlds of North mythology, the Helheim. All of by Hell, the mysterious daughter of the trickster's god Loki, his wife Angobada, cold, dark, misty abode of the dead, located in the world of Niflheim, lowest level of the North Universe. So it sits at the really bottom of the Yggdrasil tree, and Asgard's like on the top. So this is like a contrast to both. As for character wise, there's several ways you can go. Departed soul, black, dark colors, and overall a murky or an eerie presence. What you guys think?
Well, when you put it that way, it does sound pretty intense. But you could not, but judging by my appearance, I don't look anything like that, do I?
Well, no. I guess you'll be like a bright character for Asgard instead.
True. Thanks.
How about you, Kimmy? What type of character you think would be coming from Helheim?
Oh, on the top of my head, probably one of the creatures from Magic the Gathering.
Okay. A D&D Helheim-inspired version of... Gotcha.
You mean the Harpy?
No. I didn't think of one.
Basically, Kimmy think of the afterlife when he used to be a cat, when he had one of his nine lives.
Oh, no. I found one. I'll post it in the series. Oh, I'm like one of the night creeps. I'll post the picture.
Oh gosh. That's kind of funny.
Wait, you know what I'm talking about, right?
Yeah, I know what you're talking about.
Night creep.
Yeah. You guys makes me feel like playing D&D again. Maybe someday.
The night creep creature? Yeah. To the end of the tunnel, the creature becomes black and all lands become swamp. What? Okay. Sure, I guess that can work. The monstrous beast turning everything into black and swamps. Well, it's not really swampy, but you know what? Dark, it works. Black works. No life. there at all.
Yep.
Oh, gosh. But yeah, that concludes about Helheim and its origins in the Norse mythology. Next is actually going to be Jotunheim. Jotunheim is kind of interesting. It's like a frozen tundra environment, and it's actually home of the Ice Giant. And like some notable people like Fenrir and some other stuff. But typically very cold, very desolate. It's like a cold desert. It's the dwelling place of the giants, or the Ice Giants. Jotun is winter, so it's the realm of winter itself. Was usually thought as being far to the northwest. It's the place where the ocean met the edge of the world. It's a giant land. So giants are the residents. And the ruler is actually Lúthfrey.
So it's a frozen wasteland. Sounds like Crystal might feel right at home.
Yeah.
So then that's like Loki's homeland. Because he was from the Ice Giant. I thought that was Loki's homeland, right?
Uh-huh. Hey. Well, you know, it was also Loki that betrays the kills Lofi, which is the father. He then overloads the Bifrost power in order to destroy the full Jotunheim in Marvel. So, when you think about it, they have a different storyline with it.
Whoa.
Yeah.
So, Jotunheim is not even the giant land. It's also thought as being... So, it's the edge of the world. So, it's where the farther edge, so it's actually harder to get to in some aspects. And also, my opinion, I actually picked a really good character design based off Jotunheim. I'm actually doing Skati or something, I think.
Yeah,
she's
Skati.
The goddess of winter, hunting, skiing, mountains. She's very Pacific.
So
skiing, bow hunting, winter, and the mountain. So she's one of that I'm picking. So the design wise, what do you think when it comes to giant land and frozen tundra?
Well, I think I would go for, I would go for a white wolf because they're more skillful in those environments.
Oh, so you go Loki's son, Fenrir.
Sure.
He's a giant wolf character.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, he's a giant wolf. As basin that takes some residence in Jotunheim. How about you, Kimmy?
On what?
You have Jotunheim, which is the land of winter. We have a giant land and winter theme. What comes to mind?
Yeah, similar to what you said about Skati. It brings me back because I used to play Smite, and Skati was one of the guys I did play. I like a fair bit of knowledge about her.
Oh, gosh. Okay, well, I guess doing her, maybe I won't now.
Yeah.
I'm surprised, you're like the second person that knew about Skati top of their head. It's like, what? I just finalized this today. It's just kind of crazy, but that's beside the point. But yeah, with that being said, it seems it's one extreme for smart people. So, when you think about it, it's beyond the fence, way out there, already hard to get to.
Wow.
One extreme of the end of the traditional spectrum between the inner god and the outer god. So, inside the fence. So, when you think about it, Jotunheim with the land of giants and being winterized, it's just how you perceive it.
Oh, dear.
Yeah.
Yep. Next one was going to be Niflheim, the land of the fire giants.
Cool. I like getting sorry.
Niflheim is interesting. Yeah. It's a location which overlaps the notions of Niflheim and Hel. The name Niflheim appears only in two instances, which is the Gylfaginning and the much-debated Odins. So it's actually interesting
Dude, I got bad news. I need to get going soon because it's midnight.
Gotcha. Well, that is the introduction for Crystal in this episode. So tell them a little bit before you leave, and we go from there.
Sure.
Where can they find you and all that stuff?
Well, Before I go, I want to let you guys know I'm starting a Discord server called the Emerald Tent. It allows new friends to join me in my videos.
Well, there you go.
Yep. Anyway.
So, Christopher, for being here and give some insight into at least Asgard, Jotunheim, and Helheim.
I will, but I don't think she's online, is she?
Who?
Crystal.
No.
Oh.
You're just on. I said thanks for the link.
All right. Anyway, I gotta go. Bye.
Bye, guys. So, yeah. We continue going with Niflheim. It's the misty region north of the void in which the world was created. So it's an icy under the eye. So Niflheim is known for a land of mist, ice and cold. Frigid provides a final resting place for the dishonored dead. The grim giantess who roams over the deceased also makes her home here. So when you think of Niflheim, what do you hear? What do you think about?
Oh, so then that's the land of the fire giants, and yes, that's bringing up my point earlier about when Thor was in that movie fighting the Fire King, and it was able to get the Fire King's crown.
Yeah, kind of interesting, because it's...
Planet Fitness has everything you need to get stronger just around the corner, so you can give everything you've got. Whether you want to crush a few reps before class with our expanded strength equipment or sweat it out on your way home from work. With over 2,800 locations, there's a Planet Fitness close to you. And most are open 24 hours. Join the club today and save $28 or more when you join for $1 down, $15 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends January 30th. Are you coming? Planet Fitness. We're all strong on this planet. See club for details.
Kind of weird how everything works out. It's actually the misty version. The tree.
And again, it gives you like a Magic Gathering vibe. So like, I could probably show another example if you want. Of like, another creature from like the Fireland.
Yeah, it's really in a cold, desolate land. With it. It's all surrounded by water. It has a lot going for it. It tends to give off an eerie feeling, like I can say the least. And typically the residents don't usually stay too long.
Yeah. It also brings up another, remind me like for a Yu-Gi-Oh reference. That reminds me of the Burning Abyss for, because of the fire lake and stuff.
Oh, yeah.
And
well,
Dante.
When you think about it, yeah. The primordial realm of ice and mist, it's the coldest realm in the entire universe. It's the realm of the soulless, where beings who have had their souls destroyed upon death reside. Niflheim is the home of Nighthawk, the vow of the dead, and the ice giants. So think of like this as like a Jotunheim burial ground, but the ice giants not wanting to be there because of Nighthawk itself. So with that being said, it's the coldest realm. It's a little bit more colder than Jotunheim with the ice giants, so we found a realm that's even colder than that place, and it's a realm of the soulless. So, very eerie. I would probably designate it as a limbo. Maybe like a spirit, and having like a very clear vision, kind of. How about you?
Yeah, I agree.
So. But yeah, that's a little bit about Niflheim, and how it kind of presents itself. So, with that being said, a clear, rainy vibe. Some of the aspects of water, or even a spiritual astral plane projection being modified from someone's body, could be really cool for design of a character. I mean, Nighthawk being based off a character could also be well, because I think in the generator archetype, Nighthawk is actually represented as a generator boss.
Oh yeah, that too. I almost forgot about that archetype.
Yeah, it should be one ice water type or something. Tribute on the field, tribute itself, it negates the summon, so it being Nighthawk, kind of being the story of giants, kind of makes sense. It negates the summon stuff.
Like, on paper, the cards sound nice, but the downside of the deck, it heavily relies on the field spell. That's why I don't think a lot of people are playing.
It does. But yeah, next realm, that's Niflheim. Let's go to Muspelheim. Muspelheim. This is the land of the giants. A hot, bright, glowing land in the south, guarded by Surt, the fire giant. In the beginning, according to one tradition, the warm air from the region melted the ice of the opposite region, Niflheim,
thus giving the form Ymir, the father of the evil giants. So Muspelheim is where the fire giants live in demons. This is the Muspelheim, which is the world destroyer, wreck of the world. So this is your Muspelheim, primordial world of fire in the cosmetology of the Norse people. In the beginning of the creation, the heat of Muspelheim and the ice of Niflheim had combined to create Ymir, the giant, whose body was used to form the world itself. So you're thinking of Ymir, which is the big, how Ragnarok came about.
That, I think, with the design of it, that looks pretty cool.
Yeah, it's actually the fireplace itself.
Yeah, you also see, like, also the specific artwork that in there, on the inside the Google document, you can see there's, like, a hiker in there, and there's, like, two, like, hooded guardians, like, guarding the bridge. That looks cool.
Yeah, it's, like, suspended, but it has the fire thing with the lava. It being so hot and being the opposite of Niflheim.
Uh-huh.
In retrospect, Niflheim being as cold as it is, and Muspelheim being so hot, the contrast between the two is actually probably vibrant. One is bright colors, one is desolate with misty colors. As for design-wise, I think fire comes to mind. Demon, like the underworld demon, can also be a really cool spin on it. And anything to do with heat, lava, volcanic, stuff like that could be a really good character to inspire from Muspelheim. What are some of your thoughts on Muspelheim design for a character for the theme method?
It kind of feels like a dark, edgy vibe to it, not gonna lie.
That's
not a bad thing, but it's like a, again, a good thing, you know?
True. You know, they have Ghost Rider for a reason, so they kind of give that vibe.
Yeah. Yeah, you know, it does give off like a Ghost Rider vibe, so.
True. But yeah, that's the final aspects of Muspelheim. Next, we're going to go to Nolavir. Nolavir is the home of the dwarves in myth. It's underground, and it's very regarded in the Norse mythology. So what are your thoughts about Nolavir?
It has like a nice atmosphere to it. I like the artwork behind it. As for the creatures, I'm not entirely sure specifically. Do you know the specific creatures? The seven dwarves?
It's the dwarves in Norse mythology that craft the magical weapons. Like the people
Thor's hammer. Yes. I was going to say that. Yeah, there was only one of them that was able to survive. Right?
Yeah.
Oh my god, I remembered that. Yeah, so, okay, yeah, similar to that. Kind of forgot how they came to an extinct to begin with.
So it's one of the realms of Norse mythology. It was the home of the dwarves or black elves. So there's also black elves here too. Carnivorous subterranean terrain was said to be the located in the north, specifically a reference to the position of Yggdrasil, the world tree. So when you think about it, it's one of the nine realms. The problem is that both Nolavir and Svartalfheim are mentioned, and it's unclear if the sixth world is in the world of dwarves or one of black elves. The dwarves world is mentioned in the Prose Edda, which is also the Surtur. So we have Nolavir has like different lore with it, like God of War, Ragnarok, different stuff like that. I think either dark elves or dwarves being the main characters is interesting. So anything you vision of as a dwarf, as a character you think you'll like?
The only character I could think of would be the one in the Ragnarok movie that helped Thor get his hammer. That's really all I can think of.
So short, stumpy, long beard, heavy armor, very built. Well, not built, but like very battle prone, short and stumpy.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, I guess. Dark elf probably be darkened figure as a custom theme, being evil in some aspect, playing with dark magic. So, Nolavir is pretty interesting in that regard. That it doesn't have, I mean, it's underground, so you can totally go a different direction with subterranean. There's so many creatures under the earth, subterranean, that you could do as well. So,
I agree, yeah.
What the envision of characters that Nolavir can inspire, it's kind of like whatever meets the eye kind of thing. So it's not like an obvious choice like other ones could be. So if you think about it, Nolavir actually pretty good on how many characters can come from it. So, yeah, that's another video. The Anaheim is interesting. This is where the older gods live than the Neo.
Sure.
And the Anaheim is like wealthy feeling. It's like it's associated with Vanir, a group of gods that associated with fertility, wisdom, and the ability to see the future. So Vanir here is attested both, let's see, sanitations, which are single time. So it's kind of interesting how Vanaheim takes place. It's the home of the Vanir deities. Seldom mentioned in the Norse text, Vanaheim was thought to be a counterpart to Asgard, the world of the Aesir gods. It was best known as the birthplace of Nord, the patriarch of Vanir. So, basically think of if the Asgardians, based on the Aesir, didn't take the world of Asgard, then Vanaheim would be the resting, would be the actual place where Asgard would be is now. Is that interesting?
Yeah, very. I think it caught my interest a lot.
You know, Vanir were the people, and then the people that broke off was the Aesir, which is the Asgardian people. The two groups of war were at war with each other, but eventually made peace and joined as allies. So that even after Aesir gods became good, the Vanir just, they kind of forgotten about a little bit. I know the design that I had envisioned was Freyja. She was one of the Vanir gods of wisdom, fertility, and peace. I was thinking about him as a potential candidate for a design and a character. What are your thoughts about Vanaheim being the way it is?
I just like, you know, the fact that
wisdom, see the future, stuff like that.
Yes, that also kind of reminds me of like a gatekeeper, right? Forgot his name, Anthor, where he was able to, I think he's just named the gatekeeper, and he has a son. And the fact that they made peace with the other Asgardians. I thought that was also a pretty interesting aspect, in my opinion.
It is true. Well, you know, it's like an earthy moss feeling to me. So, really going heavily nature is not a bad alternative. You could go also like an old forgotten god character. So, let's say some stories use gods, they're like older gods. They don't really get worshipped anymore. Well, you can bring that character back to life through a transformation of sorts. So that's kind of what Vanaheim gives me. Any other themes within Vanaheim you want to give, like, to character design?
I'm not kind of too familiar with the characters. Can you, like, give some examples? I could probably think of some.
Okay, so you have nature. You have the earth. You have forgotten gods who are no longer worshipped. You can also do a rock creature of sorts. Since it's part of the earth, you could do a literal definition. You could do like fauns that are like wooden creatures with horns, but are like deer.
The Groot or from Guardians of the Galaxy.
You can do him too. You can do a plant creature. So there's different ways to go about it.
That's pretty nice.
Nature as a theme is pretty universally adaptable. Living trees walking among us, or a mountain creature that picks it up and has all this moss growing on it. And there's different ways to interpret that.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's Vanaheim with the Vanir gods being the way they are. Last realm, probably the best one I like visually. Elfheim. So Elfheim is actually the home of the elves, funny enough. A class of demi god-like humans in religion of the North and other Germanic people. Let's see. So it's the home of the elves. The lightful realm, the dwelling place for the light or the bright elves. These bright, beautiful, luminous beings being inspired in the arts, music, and creativity in general. So when you think of Elfheim being the realm of the light elves or bright elves, what do you think of?
So with elf character, I'm trying to think of one that has to do something with Nord. Like, it's like, not like fair. No, fairies and elves are different things, right? Like different races.
Yeah.
Put it in that way. I'm trying to think. I actually can't think of one off the top of my head of which specific character of the elves would be in.
True.
Yeah, not sure.
Well, with light elves specifically, it's usually bright colors, very bright color palette. They tend to represent more of the lighter side. So they're very pale in comparison to the darker elves. And overall, they're very inclined with the nature. So they elves typically fit with nature because of how they live as a society together. They consist of land, and also Elfenheim being the actual place where it actually happens. It's interesting to know how it all works, because the Veneer god, Faerir, is said to be the ruler of Elfenheim, which I based the Van Anaheim scenario with that. But it's kind of interesting seeing that the relationship between elves and Vanir is highly ambitious. Instead of overlap between the two groups, Faerir's position as Lord of Elfenheim, therefore, while hard to interpret, could be entirely surprising. So when you look at it and the depths of it, you actually have a decent coexisting between Vanaheim and Elfheim being connected to the Vendrir and Freyr. Anything else you want to say about Elfheim?
I have no additional points, no.
Gotcha. Yeah, with that being said, overall, yeah, because when Freyr came in existence, there's the Æsir-Vanir War, which is between Asgard and Vanaheim at the time. That's how Freyr became the ruler of Elfenheim, as a god who belongs to the Veneno tribe of deities, also an honorable member of the other tribe of North gods, the Æsir. So he's been in Asgard, but also is a Veneer himself, the tribe. So with Elfenheim, I would say this: bright color palette, nature as the foreground, like in the background, and very close to deep hyperlized fantasy. I think elves are probably the most known in the fantasy world, so drawing them up actually be really cool. I can see it now. Kimmy being the elf. Instead of cat ears, he has elf ears.
I could see myself as elf from the Christmas movie.
That's around the elf. Well, no, Christmas elves, Christmas elves are even worse. Like me little things. We were way on that one. But yeah, that concludes character design and theme methods. We analyze 9 reference pictures of different realms of the Yggdrasil tree, and as a result, we discuss the characters that fit within the theme of the different realms. And I'm glad that Emma was able to show up and give access to these 3 worlds in Helheim, Asgard, and Jotunheim. And Kimmy was able to finish it out with me. Any final thoughts before we go?
I like the idea of Norma's Ology. I'm really looking forward. We can do like another podcast about this. Like, I really had nice interest about on the Greek mythology and stuff. I'm willing to do this again, of course, on a different topic, but then Norse mythology. Cool. So I like it overall.
Yeah, I think with my aesthetics, I think I kind of chose 4 different realms as 4 on the 9 that was actually good. North of Vio, Jotunheim, which I did Frost Giants for the silhouette of the characters, for the cover art for Jotunheim. For Anaheim, we did an elf that was hunting. Elfheim, we actually did Freyr in one of the old depictions of Freyr. And the other one was Jotunheim, Elfheim, and Vanillaheim. Vanillaheim, we did. Oh. Moldavia being the home of the dwarf. That's what I forgot. So with that being said, we basically covered the themes. I'm either going to do Freyr of Vanaheim or Skadi, that is also a ice giant in origin, who is basically representing an elf. So it's going to be interesting to see how, if nature wins, Orthed Mossy for Vanaheim, or Icy and Winterish like Jotunheim. So, and Kimmy's kind of biased against Gotti. I'm kind of biased against Freya now. So I don't know. It could be interesting. Do you think we
better? Yeah, I mean, I actually wouldn't know. Unless we play a game of Smite, we can do a 1v1. Let's see which card's better.
Yeah. Well, true. I'm going to be the character with special effects makeup and here the photographer. So having the wardrobe, plus the hair, the makeup, and the prosthetics to look like a character, it's going to be kind of cool. And the photo shoot to have it. So stay in tune for that project. It's going to be an extra inclusive, which inspired this entire podcast. But yeah, we could talk to you all day, but I think we wrap it up. So, generally, thank you for being here. Kimmy, you were saved because you didn't die in Helheim.
Yeah, thank you, Mick, for saving me. I appreciate it.
So there you go. You saved all the boredom and he came back from retirement. And he's going to be here for more often because he's not going to go anywhere.
Nope.
All right, guys. See you later.
This concludes another episode of MC Anime Podcast. MC Anime Podcast is available on podcast directories like Google Podcasts, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, iHeartRadio, and YouTube. We also have our website at mcanimepodcast.com. If you want to directly support us, then follow Patreon blog MC Anime. Finally, if you want services for hire, then we're available on Fiverr for audio and video production, graphic design, idea consulting, and blog and article writing.